Hello and welcome to the London Insurance Life podcast. My name is Annabelle Baker and I am one of London Insurance Life's 2021 bursary winners. I am passionate about making a career in insurance more accessible to everyone, no matter your background or the route you choose to take to get into the industry. And this podcast is about just that. Each podcast, I'll have a chat with a different guest about their experience of the London market and any advice they might have how to get a role in the industry. I'm excited to say that today I'm joined by Abby Smart, who is a graduate broker and account handler at Willis Towers Watson. Welcome, Abby. How are you today?
Hi, Annabelle. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Glad to be in the city. Nice and sunny. How are you doing?
Yes, really good, thank you. Enjoying the nice weather as well. So, you're on a graduate scheme, and this means you've had the opportunity to complete a year of work in two different departments. So, your first rotation was in the Natural Catastrophe and Climate team in Risk and Analytics. So, what did your role involve in this team?
That's correct. So, there was mainly two different types of role. There was an analytical side, so the numbers part, and then there was the consulting role, which is where you would talk to the client. We worked with global clients, so all over the world, with a portfolio, so numerous locations, or a single location such as a port or a dam. And some of the main tasks that I carried out in this team were to carry out natural hazard reviews. This was to understand a client's exposure to natural catastrophes such as hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes from a really high level. And then we could carry out risk modelling to obtain information such as the client's average annual loss, what the high risk locations were, and understanding the value of insurance. We also looked at chronic perils for climate, such as heat stress and drought stress, to see how that will provide both risks and opportunities for clients and their suppliers, both now, mid-century, and towards the end of the century, for a variety of scenarios. We could then consult our clients on these findings using this and scientific literature.
That sounds fantastic. I think it's so brilliant that you got to work in a team which is so topical. They're only going to become more relevant and more important to issues that we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. So I can see why you really enjoyed that first rotation. Now you're working in the marine cargo team. So what does this entail? And maybe you could talk us through how it's a little bit different to your first rotation.
Yeah, so marine cargo is really, really different to my first rotation. So cargo is essentially anything which can be transported, and historically this was via shipments. However, now it includes other modes of transport too, such as roads and rails, etc. So in this team, I work to help to obtain the best insurance structure, terms and prices for clients for this cargo. This might include just the shipments of goods, for example, or it could include both the transport and the associated storage of this cargo, which is known as SOC throughput insurance. Now, cargo is very exciting because the risks are so broad. It can vary from commodities to cars, food and drink, pharmaceuticals, retail, and even the pre-launch of satellites. So we see risks from all over the world, and therefore we really need to understand what the client wants, what their demands and needs are, and then who to approach to ensure that we can achieve this. In terms of the difference between this and my first role, it's a lot more relationship-based. So you need to build up a good relationship with underwriters in the cargo market, as well as a good reputation with your clients so that you can maintain them.
And in terms of relationships, that's a really interesting point to touch on. How would you recommend building a relationship with an underwriter versus building a relationship and reputation with the client?
With the underwriters, I'd say, you know, not just jumping straight into that technical chat, really understanding them as people. All underwriters like to do business differently. Some of them prefer to pick up the phone, meet you in person. Others prefer to do stuff over email. So really understanding that individual underwriter and having, you know, that small talk at the start, understanding a bit about their personal life, their family, what they're doing to really build up this relationship and trust. I guess it's quite similar with clients. You still need to have this small talk and build up trust that way, but also potentially you do need a slightly more professional front that you might with underwriters in the market.
So your actual job role is broker and account handler. Could you tell us a little bit about what these terms actually mean?
Sure. So a broker is essentially a middleman between the client and the underwriter. We say it's the agent of the insured. This means that you work to understand the client's needs so that you can best place these risks and obtain the insurance necessary for them. So this is the role which I particularly love because I get to chat to underwriters. I get to explain the client to them what their risks are, and then go about negotiating the terms and the price. Now, the account handler is more on the client side. As in the name, you handle the account. You service it, interact with the client to obtain information on the risk, work out what is best for them, and then relay the insurance options back to them. And it's really important here that you explain any key parts of the insurance. For example, some of the clauses in the contract or something that they must do to ensure that they have insurance coverage.
Thank you. So broking, like you said, can be a really exciting role to do and a very dynamic element of the job too. But it can be quite daunting the first time that you do broke to an underwriter. I do remember my first time and kind of not knowing what to expect and being really nervous about what they're going to ask. Have you got any advice for kind of how to prepare for your first broke? What questions you can expect? I mean, that might differ depending on the class, but kind of, yeah, how to reduce someone's nerves when they're first going to broke to an underwriter?
It was quite unusual for me. I joined this team in September and we were still working from home a bit more. A lot of my initial brokes were on Teams rather than in person, which I think potentially could have been a bit beneficial for me. I was able to have my spreadsheets up, emails up in front of me on my screen as I was talking to underwriters, which really helped. I think initially, you know, jumping on calls with other brokers in your team to just understand how they interact with different underwriters. As I mentioned earlier, some underwriters prefer more small talk or prefer doing business a certain way. So you can learn from these more senior brokers. In person, I think actually it seems a bit more daunting, but when you're carrying out the broke in person, it's actually a lot more fun. You know, you've got the buzz of Lloyd's around you, people talking, and think just being clear about what your risk is and being honest when you don't know the answer to everything is really important. And no underwriter is going to be horrible to you when you first start out, and they're going to appreciate that you won't know everything.
You did mention Lloyd's. If we could just briefly touch on kind of what Lloyd's is and what it actually means to go to Lloyd's and broke, because I think a few of our listeners might not understand what Lloyd's is as a place.
So just to be clear, Lloyd's itself isn't an insurer. It's a marketplace, and you have what is known as syndicates within it. And these syndicates are kind of small groups of insurers who write the risks for your clients. And Lloyd's is really fun to go into because you can move about 10 steps through the building and you've gone from one insurer to another. So it's really useful as a way of placing risks because you can meet lots of people over one time period.
Absolutely. And like you said earlier, it's got a very kind of buzzing atmosphere. You can really kind of bounce off the energy of other people. And it can also be a good networking opportunity. As the London market starts to get busier and people come in the office more, we're going to have to start queuing to the underwriters again. So in the queue, you can talk to other brokers and kind of expand your network in that way. So I think insurance is really exciting and dynamic in that sense. For our listeners that are school leavers or graduates and are starting to look to start a career in insurance, it can sometimes feel difficult to choose between applying to a graduate scheme versus an entry-level role. Perhaps you could talk us through the difference between these two options and also how you made the decision for yourself.
A graduate scheme is a programme which has been put together by a particular company to really give a solid foundation to those who have just left university. It enables you to see a high-level overview of the company and to try out different roles within the company. Whereas an entry-level job, you know, you're just going into a role straight away within your team and potentially don't have the opportunities to move around within the company as much. However, I do believe that both have their benefits as well as their drawbacks too.
And how did you decide on applying for a grad scheme?
So I actually got my graduate scheme through an internship, which I would really recommend to anyone at university if they're interested in applying to a graduate scheme. I think it could be a great way to gain insight before you commit to a full 2 years. So I had an app on my phone, which allowed recruiters to contact me about different opportunities for internships and grad schemes. And I saw this particular one and I thought for WTW and I thought this looks really interesting. I agree with their values. So I thought, you know, why not? Let's just apply. And I went through the typical process of video interviews, assessment centres, and then landed my internship. And then really enjoyed the company, what I learnt over my 8 weeks, and decided when I was offered it to take up the grad scheme.
Thank you. And I think that's a really good point, because although doing an internship isn't necessary to get an entry-level role or to apply to a grad scheme, it is really helpful to get insight into the company before you join on a permanent basis. A lot of internships range from kind of 3-4 weeks up into maybe 3 months, depending on what you're looking for and what the company requires. And it can be really beneficial for both yourself and for the employer to see whether you're a good fit for the firm before you commit long term. So if we have a quick chat about university for you, you studied biomedical sciences at Warwick. So what made you decide to choose that degree and that university?
So initially, I wanted to be a scientific researcher. I did not want to go into a corporate city job. I wanted to find the next big cure or to understand how a particular disease spreads. I've always been interested particularly in viruses, so I guess quite fitting for the current few years. So also in terms of university, I wanted to join a campus university. I grew up kind of in Greater South London, Surrey area, wanted to escape. So I decided to go to the Midlands in a field in the middle of nowhere, known as Warwick University. You know, it was a great university for me to go to. There were plenty of opportunities. I think as a Russell Uni as well, it was very heavily research based, which was particularly important for me with this type of degree.
So it sounds like you've really enjoyed uni, but it'd be great to hear, do you think that you need a degree to have a career in insurance, or are there other routes into the industry?
No, not at all. I mean, having a degree is always helpful in terms of the transferable skills you learn there, but it's not the only route in. I mean, I've met people in both of the teams that I've been with who have come straight out from school and they've got into the company onto an apprenticeship. I think that can be particularly beneficial because, you know, when you get to my age, you've already got 4 or 5 years of skills within a team behind you. And you really learn the foundations of insurance from the get-go. You can build up a really impressive set of knowledge by the time that a graduate would have come out of uni.
I couldn't agree more, because if you're at uni for 3 years and an apprentice has got kind of 3 years extra time building their network, building their understanding of the role, their skills, and as much as it's really beneficial to go to university, it's not a case of one route is better than the other one. It's just different and suits different people in different ways. So thank you. So you obviously haven't always dreamed of working in insurance. So how has a biomedical sciences degree led to you becoming a broking graduate?
I mean, no, not at all. I think it was pretty obvious that I initially didn't think I would end up into the world of insurance. I must confess, I probably knew very little about insurance before I got my internship and grad scheme. I think having a degree in biomedical science has helped me. It's given me a foundation of lots of skills which are transferable into the insurance industry, looking at data sets, understanding trends, being able to communicate with different people from all walks of life, building up teamwork skills, and lots of other transferable skills which you just pick up being independent and staying away from your mum doing the cooking and the cleaning, and really learning to stand on your own 2 feet, which you have to have when you go into the world of work.
Definitely. So speaking from experience, I know it can be really daunting applying for jobs in an industry that you've got quite little knowledge of. And I think we can often forget that we've learned a lot of skills from our experiences in things like part-time jobs, societies at universities, or hobbies if you didn't go to university. So it would be great if you could tell us a little bit about the skills that you learned from jobs which may initially seem unrelated to the industry, but have actually been really beneficial.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, having a biomedical science background, I, you know, didn't study economics or finance, but yeah, I did learn a lot from both my degree and previous jobs and societies, as you've mentioned. So I actually was involved in tutoring for maths and chemistry, and I think that really helped me to explain a topic to someone which may be initially tricky, but in a less complex way so that the learner can get their head around it. And that's really important when you're going about explaining insurance concepts to clients who they themselves have little understanding of the technicalities of it. I also was part of the tennis society at university, and again, there you're working as a team and you're interacting with people from different degrees, different backgrounds, which is also crucial when you're going into the insurance industry, particularly as we're wanting to increase inclusion and diversity within insurance.
Brilliant advice there. Thank you so much, Abby. So if we bring it back to present day, what advice have you got for a young person starting out in the insurance industry?
I would just say yes to every opportunity that you come across, even if it seems like it's slightly outside your comfort zone. I think the more exposure you get, the quicker you learn, And often it's from these less comfortable situations where you learn the most. And getting stuff wrong doesn't make you a failure. It just teaches you how to improve. So definitely take every opportunity that you get.
I couldn't agree more. And obviously, most of the last 2 years has been spent working from home thanks to the pandemic. As we mentioned earlier, the city is starting to open up again, which is very exciting as it gives us a chance to come to the office more and meet our colleagues in person. So how have you found the transition from remote to in-person working? And what are the main differences that you've noticed?
I've definitely enjoyed coming back into the office from, you know, completing my first rotation on my graduate scheme entirely at home. It's great now to have the flexibility of both working in the office and working from home. I think both have their benefits. Admin tasks potentially could be a bit better to carry out at home, where there's less distractions of people chatting to you in the office and grabbing a coffee. But you do learn so much from being in the office. You know, you overhear certain conversations which you just wouldn't when you're working behind a screen at home. And it's also easier to get involved in more things because people notice you and it's easier to ask for opportunities. In the office, I definitely hear a lot more about market trends, what's happening with clients, and therefore I learn a lot more in that aspect. Also, I think in the office, it's really fun because you do have that social side. You can go out for lunch, you meet new people, and that's really important for building up those networks, which you mentioned earlier. You can establish relationships a lot easier in person than you can behind a screen, not just how someone talks, but their body language and all of that too. I think it's also easier to meet people outside your direct team when you're walking about the floor, as I said, grabbing a coffee, going for lunch, which makes the job a lot more fun when you're interacting with people from different backgrounds and you can really learn a lot from them.
Absolutely. And like we've said, building relationships is such a key part of the role. So it is really helped by being present in the office. So we're nearly at the end of the podcast. I just want to finish up with two questions. So firstly, it'd be great to hear why you love working in the industry so much.
I think for me, it was all about the people, really. I've been fortunate enough to have two great teams where I've learned a lot and I've also felt really comfortable asking for help. Meeting underwriters in the market is always fun and exciting. I just love seeing the array of risks out there. And I think sometimes people are guilty of just thinking of insurance as car insurance, life insurance, home insurance. But actually, being in this field has enabled me to understand that you really need insurance for everything. And it's pretty amazing how the insurance industry can be at the forefront to drive change for the better. I think particularly we've seen that at the moment with climate change. The insurance industry is really driving, making an impact for the better there.
And secondly, what are your main bits of advice for those looking to get started?
So before you apply, I think it would be pretty similar to what I said earlier about taking opportunities that you come across, whether that's through getting an app, searching for internships, graduate schemes, apprenticeships online, looking on websites for information on people you can email and contact, reaching out on LinkedIn, just going outside your comfort zone, really. And remembering that asking questions is a strength and not a weakness. Also, trying to build up relationships with people of different ages, particularly, as I said, on LinkedIn, find people in different stages of their career who you could message, have a quick chat with. I think you can learn something from people of all levels, whether they've been in the insurance industry for years or whether they've just started out and see it with a fresh set of eyes.
Amazing. Thank you so much. It's been really great having you on. If you want to get in touch with Abby for further advice, we will leave her contact details in the description box below. Thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to catching you next time on the London Insurance Life podcast.